This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
God created the world and mankind. This traumatized me as a toddler. Their render times must have been awful back in the 90s. Junior's song is lit. Why would anyone want to worship a bunny? These are just a few select comments from the YouTube video of Rack Shack and Benny, the VeggieTales video from 1995. The video takes a page from chapter 3 of the Book of Daniel, in which King Nebuchadnezzar sets up a golden image in the plain of Dura, commanding all his subjects bow before it. But when a trio of young Jewish boys named Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, the artists more commonly known by their Babylonian names Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refused to pledge allegiance to the golden flag and instead took a knee in protest, the king threw them into a fiery furnace for disgracing their nation like a bunch of thugs. For those with memories made of felt board, you may remember the twist, in which not only were these biblical Beastie Boys unscathed, but they were seen joined by a fourth figure in the flames. Once out of the fire, the king decreed that anyone who spoke or blasphemed against their god be torn limb from limb, in what I would call a pretty wild overcorrection. Nonetheless, the story remains a lovely symbol of God's faithfulness to the Jewish people. Now, if you heard this story and thought to yourself, cool, but not enough chocolate bunnies, R-Town illusions, and musical numbers in which anthropomorphized vegetables slowly gyrate, have we got a show for you. So we watched VeggieTales, specifically the episode Rack Shack and Benny. And we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun. Oh, hell yeah. VeggieTales, VeggieTales. What did your eyes get so big for?
I forgot something else.
What?
Forgetting all of my shit.
Really?
I need my notebook.
Wait,
I need
you
my
forgot
laptop.
All your notes? Do you need to run out of the room and get your little notebook?
Yeah, stop the podcast.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
Bye.
And Caroline's leaving the room. So this is Good Christian Fun. Here, I'll just do the abbreviated version of what we usually do. I'm Caroline. We're here to have some good Christian fun. Now, Caroline, what is Good Christian Fun? Good Christian Fun is a podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, Christian movies, Christian music, Christian entertainment. And we grew up as Christians and are still currently technically in the state of California Christians. But
and I'm Caroline.
Okay. But we're not here to evangelize to you or make you go to church, and we're not here to bash the stuff either. We're just here to say, what is going on? What in the world is this stuff? And our hearts are good.
All right. No, how's your heart, Kevin?
Am I wrong?
Is it better than good?
Sure.
Worse than good?
No, it's great. It's great.
I want to know.
It's good.
Okay.
How's yours?
My heart's good. I need to get a pedicure, which I'm going to call Self-Care Wednesday when I go tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you need a pedicure? At what point do you realize you need a pedicure?
It's been a while.
Is it when you're praying and you see, oh, my
nasty
cuticles.
Toes. Pedicure is on your feet, dumbass.
Oh, excuse me.
But it's been a while. Usually I do my own, but I'm like, I deserve it.
Based on what?
Based on I'm at a new job. My cat is slimming down.
Those two factors mean that you need to take care of your toes now more than ever.
That's right.
That makes sense to me.
I want to be a better example to Scampi and my coworkers.
Of how to take care of yourself?
Yeah, how to look after your body.
I don't know if I would start at the toe region, but yeah, I mean, piece by piece, we'll figure it out.
That's right.
The topic for today is VeggieTales. This is the first time we've repeated a topic on the show. We discussed their first video, Where's God When I'm Scared, mm-hmm. in episode 4, I believe.
The very first VeggieTales episode.
Mm-hmm. And this is like the third or fourth. This came out in 1995.
Yeah.
And Rack, Shaq, and Benny.
Yeah, Rack, Shaq, and Benny.
Were you disappointed that they didn't spell it like Shaq, like Shaquille O'Neal? Like with a Q.
No, I wasn't.
And get Shaq as a guest.
But now you say that, I am disappointed.
Now think of that gif of him going, like, you
when
know.
When he was doing his little
yeah,
dance.
Yeah, dancing a little mm-hmm, bit. Mm-hmm. That's one of the greatest gifs of all time. But we couldn't talk about this alone we need a special guest help us do it. And we're going to introduce her right now, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, we're so excited to have her. She is a writer. She is a comedian.
Yeah.
She is one half of the hosting team behind the Nerdificent podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Dani Fernandez.
Oh, I love having high people. This is great.
We'll come and do it on your show.
I would love you guys, every time we do our podcast, to do this specifically.
I'm free. I'll do it.
You just started a new job.
No, I got time.
Okay.
What is your rate?
Very low.
We take Squarespace
donation dollars.
Yeah.
Donation-based. Yeah. Just leave it in a tip, you know. Tell me I'm doing a good job.
We would take it. Dani, thank you so much.
I also work off of validation as well.
Verbal affirmation.
Does anyone in podcasting not work off of validation?
That's true.
Why we came here.
What is your Twitter strategy when handling feedback? Sincerely.
Oh God, really? I mean, I don't like most of it.
The positive stuff.
No, the positive stuff. I feel I'm trying this year to focus on it more because people have. Like my fans have pointed out that I give more attention, at least last year I did. I would give more attention to people writing awful things to me.
It's very natural to do that.
It is, yeah. And you kind of just want to put them in their place. And especially if you're in comedy, it's like really easy to do.
Oh yeah, we can own people like roast so them. Hard. Yeah.
And we don't, and that should be recognized.
And that's grace.
Yeah, yeah. So this year I'm doing better with trying to focus. I use the quality filter, but then it was also filtering out people that were just saying like
nice things.
Yeah.
Or just like, hey, what time is this happening?
Yeah, or it would just like maybe they had a cuss word in it, but they were like, shit damn, you did great.
Have you guys ever seen a shit damn, by the way?
I love those.
They're gross.
Kevin. I was talking with Travis McElroy about this too, and about the negative feedback, and not that there's a lot of it. It's actually probably like disproportionately small compared to everything else, but it is like very attractive.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, you want to fix it or you can't move on.
I'm not like necessarily in the YouTube world, but I'm like definitely YouTube adjacent where I'm on a lot of those channels.
Okay.
And I would say I realize now, it took me forever to realize this, that the majority of people don't comment. The majority of people watching.
They just
watch. If you have a video that has like a million views, like the majority of those, they just don't even comment. Like they're listening to you while they get ready or whatever. So the people who do comment are normally, at least in the YouTube world, I feel like extremely aggressive, hostile, and negative.
Yeah.
Whereas Twitch is another. I've been at two Twitch channels, which were Geek and Sundry and Hyper RPG, which are a lot more positive.
Hey, it's your great aunt here, Caroline. What's Twitch?
Twitch is a live streaming platform.
We talked about this, didn't we?
Actually, the episode of Nerdificent that is dropping, probably when this is dropping, Twitch.
Hey.
It's about Twitch. Yes,
okay.
And how it got started. It basically got started by a guy live streaming himself 24/7. Remember that? That was like a thing back in the early mid 2000s where people like wanted to film themselves 24/7. It was very like
we all wanted to be in Ed TV.
Yes, that's exactly it. And then it turned into Twitch, and Twitch is largely gaming, like live streaming of gameplay. But you also have a lot of other things with it, other categories now.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you for that primer.
You're welcome.
I'll listen to your episode too.
You should.
Save you some more time.
We try to go through the history of everything. So like no matter where you're coming in as far as your knowledge, and then we talk about our experiences with it, with knowing Iffy and I are hilarious and wild.
Yes. Iffy's been on the show.
An old friend of the show, Iffy Wadaway.
We love Iffy.
Yes. So thank you so much for joining
us as well on
the show. What is your background with face stuff? We call this part the guestimony.
Well, my family is hardcore Catholic. So
what is hardcore meaning?
Oh, well, I'm Latin Catholic, a Mexican Catholic, and Irish Catholic. So
what?
I'm like the most Catholic. Yeah. Love drinking. All the Catholics. I went to Catholic school in elementary school, and my brother went to Catholic high school. And
so you stopped at like junior high, maybe?
I did.
Okay.
Because we moved to Texas.
What part of Texas?
I went to, I was right outside of Dallas in Frisco.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then I went to the University of Texas in Austin.
I went to the University of Texas in Austin.
You suck.
A couple of Longhorns here.
Class of 09, baby.
Yeah.
I think it was 2011.
Right on. So that was your experience with it. It was just kind of like a It was more of a heritage thing than like a personal experience.
Definitely.
Thing.
I feel a lot of my heritage is like Catholicism is really big in the Mexican community. That's not to stereotype everyone because there are definitely people that aren't, but I feel like it is a big part of our culture. Mm-hmm. I had that. And then my parents were also heavily involved in the church. My mom actually worked at San Juan Capistrano.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Cool. So my family was pretty entrenched in it.
The Salmon of Capistrano.
Uh-huh.
Can I ask, even growing up, did any of that resonate with you? Did God feel real to you in some way? Or was it always kind of like, oh, I show up here and then
go home? It felt super real. My parents would take us on trips to visit different missions. And my mom had this like altar that she would pray at in our house like every morning. And there was an earthquake because we grew up here before we moved to Texas. There was an earthquake and she had this like Jesus candle and it fell. I should just send y'all a picture of this. It fell and it broke into the shape of a heart. Like the whole candle stayed together. The whole Jesus candle stayed together, but there was a little heart broken out of it.
What?
And my mom was like, that was it. It was done deal. That's you know like, what I mean?
Miracle.
Like
that.
Yeah, miracle. We also always believe that I feel like my family heavily believes in like signs and that everything happens for a reason. Mm. And they also took me to this other church where the soil is supposed to heal people. Ooh. And that my mom took that before she had to have a surgery and she ended up not having to have surgery. She had like a bunch of cysts and so there, my family's, and she started taking, she would just put a little bit of this soil. If you go to that church, I have to look it up, but if you go there in the chapel, there's like a bunch of people have left like crutches and think like from when they were sick
healings?
Or whatever. Yeah, from their healing.
That's so cool.
That was my experience growing up with it where I was heavily, I remember in my diary I wrote like, I hope I never cuss like the older kids. Like,
oh, what a sweet little spirit.
Cussing is a big deal.
I know.
I remember feeling the same thing too, like being young. Like cussing was just, I had the most mortifying memory the other day. If I remember pulling my volleyball teacher aside after practice one day and being like,
Helen Hunt.
And be like, you know, I know you're a believer and I just don't think you should use that language.
You told your volleyball coach that?
And I'm like a freshman in high school. Like, I'm pretty old.
Did she say,
I know you're a believer?
Or something?
I love it.
I know.
What did she say that was so egregious?
I know you're a believer.
But that's not how sorry
Justin
goes. You
like
got
that.
The words wrong in verse two. What did she say that?
It wasn't even that big a deal. She was just, I don't know. She probably said ass. Like, that was it. And
really?
Yeah.
Like,
and
nice
I was
ass
like,
out there, kids.
Shit damn.
Yeah. She probably said the shit damn. You know, the worst combo.
By the way, have you guys even seen a shit thing?
So she was very nice to me. I remember that. She was very decorous and handled it well. But I feel so mortified to think of that now. Anyway, cussing.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
That was like, that was deal breaker. And it was kind of a litmus test. Like, how moral is this person? How upstanding
how
and virtuous could this individual be?
Uh-huh.
Yes. And for like fellow believers, it was like, oh, you say it, but do you mean it?
Right.
Whereas I think we have different philosophies on that now, perhaps.
Well, it was really interesting growing up in Texas, like going to high school in Texas, because we were Catholic, but the majority of the kids, like all the popular kids were Baptist. Mm-hmm. And they all went to Prestonwood, which is like a really big Baptist church there, popular Baptist church, but they would all drink and they weren't supposed to.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, we're allowed to, you know, and Catholicism, we're allowed
we own
to.
It.
Yeah, we own it. My parents had like the best liquor when I was growing up. It was like, I got to have top shelf liquor when I would get drunk.
Amazing.
But like all of the kids, I always thought that was weird that they were like, so they would go to Bible study. Like, I don't know, it was kind of like this little, like, oh, we're cool because we go to this the most popular church in town, but then we also don't even follow it at all.
Yeah, but so, we just go and we're in the youth group together.
Yeah, yeah.
Did any of them ever try to like evangelize to you because they're you're Catholic? So.
No, there were kids. There were cool kids that went to our church as well. But yeah, then I actually kept going to church when I moved to LA.
Mm-hmm.
I went to some of the churches in Hollywood.
Like mosaic, like some of the Catholic churches?
No, I want to go there. Okay. That looks really cool. No, I went to, Catholic churches.
Okay.
In Hollywood. And then I got really, really sick. I have like two chronic illnesses and an autoimmune disorder. And I kind of, it was in a point of my life where I was like extremely poor. I was having such a hard time. I got sick. I was like going to church and doing all these things that I felt like I should do, even though I was in Hollywood and surrounded by sin. And that changed my beliefs a lot.
How so?
Getting sick. Because I thought I didn't deserve it. And I thought a lot of people out here did. Mm-hmm. And it was so difficult for me to be like, I'm going to church. I had also been through a lot, like in my childhood and trauma wise, and my family has had a lot of turbulence and trauma. And I just didn't think that I deserved that. And to have that happen to me at the worst possible time when I was so poor and like couldn't get help, I felt like I was praying and nobody was listening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that really did change how I stopped going to church, and like it changed me. Yeah.
I totally get that. And I think that's what I struggle with when it comes to and I wouldn't, nor would Caroline, in any sense of the word, identify as evangelical at all. But the idea that part of like a Christian or a faith-based worldview is like, and then you want other people to be like you, and you want other people to come into the faith, and you want to like convert people and make believers of the nations and stuff like that. I have none such desire right. Because for me, if it was something more like, I think if you live this way, there's like tangible realities and things that you experienced growing up where like, oh, there was this thing with the soul and this thing with the candle where it's like, I can see and observe that. But kind of the chaos of life.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before. I think seeing Christianity as more of a lens rather than a solution is more helpful to me, because I think if I see it as like, I think this is going to fix it and this is the best way forever.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily recommend Christianity to other people because I can't promise you like it's going to go well.
Yeah.
It may not.
So much of the promise, I think a lot of the time of when you're trying to tell someone of like, oh, life with Jesus is amazing. I'm happy now, you know, and things go well. And, oh, you know, maybe I have trouble or whatever, but God is good. And like, it's going to be okay. And you have to wrap everything in this bow of like, but it's all sunny in the end of the day, or else you won't be like attracting people to this life, basically.
If anything, sometimes there's like just more blame to go around when things like just suck and are super shitty. It's like, oh, there's a responsibility outside of me that I have to look to, and it doesn't feel great sometimes. I think there are some things that for me personally from time to time make it worth it, but I don't know if it's something I would say, yeah, I think this is the best and it's the best for you and you should do it. So things like that, I totally understand and get why it would be like, yeah, I don't think this is good, because I think that would in me just create more bitterness.
Yeah, I was not getting better. And it was one of those things where I was like, if there is someone up there, like he's not paying attention to me.
That's a horrible feeling.
It is. It's the worst feeling. Yeah. It's so, and now I honestly, the way that I view faith, my faith is more of like a universal type of thing where I feel like I'm an even better person now that I'm not as limited to the church, because I don't go to church anymore. And my mom doesn't really either. My mom actually divorced my dad. And her annulment process, I think, made her rethink. She was like such a spiritual person. And she left my abusive dad after 25 years. And they made her life hell trying to leave him. Like trying
to annul.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Because that's not, at least in Catholicism, you don't divorce, you know? And she had been, my mom was so religious that she wanted to be a nun. And she went to a nunnery and they were like, go to college and then come back. That's literally what they told her. She was like,
that's very wise
Sound of
them.
Music. Stuff, yeah. Like,
the nuns have a work study program.
Yeah. She was so religious that she just like, she wanted to be a nun. And they were like, please, you know, go off to college, like live. I don't know what she met my dad. That's what happened. But and then had my brother and then got married and had my brother and then had me and my little brother. But yeah, so they told her to go. But that's how spiritual she was. And I think that she also, it changed her faith.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
As to like having to go through that. So
well, to question you, especially when the partner is abusive.
Yeah.
Too,
yeah.
To be like, are you sure he's abusive?
Right.
Do or what are you doing?
Yes. That's exactly
like
what it was.
You and that kind of thing, which is terrible. And like, frankly, sadly, like all too common in churches too, of like, well, maybe you should try to have sex with him more, or maybe you got fat, or maybe you should be not nagging him so often.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't blow up. Just terrible things like that. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So that's kind of shaped, but I still feel like she's a really spiritual person. I feel like I'm actually really spiritual too. We're just not connected to the church anymore.
Yeah.
That's totally true and valid. And yeah. Good. How's your health? Are you doing better?
I mean,
dealing with it now?
I just saw my doctor today. I have to see him like every
month.
Good
job.
Thank you.
It's hard.
It is hard.
Did you tell him about this podcast?
No.
Do you talk to him about us?
No.
What did he say?
I did do something that I really, it's been a great community, is on Facebook I created a chronic illness group for women. It's largely women in the comedy community.
Oh, cool.
It's so nice because there's like 80 of us in there, and not everything you can say out loud on Facebook when you're applying for jobs and people think like, oh, she's talking about how fatigued she is, I don't want to work with her, or this and that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I hustle a lot out here for someone that has a chronic illness. And then you just kind of get to know like, oh, a lot of people actually have it. And it helps me being in that community. I'm so much better than I was. Like, I have my health so much more under control now. But it felt like I would never get to this point.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in the thick of it. So.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
What a victory. I know it's ongoing and whatever, but I'm just glad you're feeling better.
Thank you.
And can figure it out.
And not to shove a square peg into a round hole with that nice thing about Facebook, but I will say for as much bad and truly like empirically bad things there are about Facebook, the groups
are
good.
Yeah,
I'm learning. They're
great.
Oh.
Like Matt and Dory's Excellent Cold Adventure Night podcast. That's Matt Meyer and his wife Dory Shafir, I forgot how to pronounce her last name. It's about IVF and about their journey doing IVF stuff. They started a group, and if you're dealing with IVF stuff, you just join it and connect with other people
amazing.
Going through the exact same stuff and things like that. People, women in comedy dealing with chronic illness. And then even for our group, people who are like ex-church or ex-evangelical or, you know, Christians but struggling, however they want to categorize it, it's so cool that there is some form of church, quote-unquote, and community for people to like be able to have a safe space to connect with each other
freely.
So
nice.
So thank you, Cambridge Analytica, for Facebook.
Yeah. Thank you, Cambridge Analytica, for mining our problems. For
this episode
your
is brought
dad.
To you by Cambridge Analytica.
We love them. Thumbs up. Vote
no
for Trump.
Problems there. Vote for Trump. No, we can't do that. Not even ironically.
Honestly, this is so corny of me to say, but I do think those groups, I think that community is church. I think that's what church is supposed to be. It's to help the ostracized, to help you find your like-minded people and or people that are different from you that can help and care for you and be there for you in that way. And that's like, that's enormous. So
thanks for sharing your story too.
Amen.
Yeah, of
that's
course.
That's really cool.
Thank you for sharing that.
I think it's time to dive into a bowl full of vegetables.
Come on, let's go.
Chocolate and vegetables. I know. It is a funny dichotomy of sweets and veggies in this episode. Veggie Tales. What is your, Danny, what is your experience growing up with like faith-based entertainment? Do you remember anything that you might have been exposed to growing up or even any like Catholic media?
I don't know. Like now looking back, so I wasn't allowed to listen to Kiss FM. Like I wasn't allowed to listen to the radio station really. We could listen to K-Earth 101, which is
the oldies.
Yes. Yeah, we could listen to oldies. And then my mom had a lot of cassettes for us. But I, listening back, I'm like, were these Christian's cassettes or just children's cassettes? Like, I'm sure there were a lot in there. She would play us like church songs and whatnot. But I remember being a heavy collector of Precious Moments.
Oh, PM's big. Oh, yeah.
They are
like
spiritual. There's a lot of angels, 100%. Like Jesus.
Yeah.
Precious
if you go to
moments
a Christian
thing,
store, you're going to find Precious Moments, or at least back when they were popular.
Oh, there's a Precious Moments Bible.
Yeah. I think I had that. Yep. I think I had the Precious Moments Bible.
Nothing like seeing weeping children portraying Daniel in the lion's den to really shape your faith.
Oh, the Precious Moments of some of those Old Testament stories are vivid and graphic.
Wow.
I did hear Gabourey Sidibe did buy the company now, and it's just figurines
that's funny.
From her.
Okay. That's Wow. What? Moving on.
Why? All right.
Moving on. I remember a little bit of VeggieTales. I don't remember a lot of it. I think it was, I don't know. I think I'd moved on to like Pokemon by then. Or
it was
something.
Okay,
like
cool.
Digimon.
Was,
Digimon or something.
Digimon, digital monsters. Yeah.
Pokemon
That's all
are probably, like, I think VeggieTales might have been the a Christian equivalent
stone?
Of
no.
Pokemon.
Pokemon.
What do they evolve into?
Salad.
Yeah.
They would evolve into
the cucumber
better animation.
A pickle. Yeah. Oh, the animation's so bad. Ooh, I didn't realize that until I watched this.
But in our memory, it seems
amazing. Yeah,
it seemed
really good.
It was so clean. It
was
so tight.
But then you revisit
it.
It's like, this is a cutscene from Myst.
It's amazing.
It reminded me of Clippy, the like
yes!
clip art.
Yes, but like a little bit worse, like less shadow. Well, I read a lot into like the creation of the show and all of that. And the guys that were animating like were self-teaching themselves as they were going.
Cool,
like,
they could make money
I know,
while doing that.
Yeah, and like doing computer animation and then like slowly hired one animator at a time. And so it looks so rough. But they were trying their very best and making a ton of money because people loved it.
For a time until they went bankrupt in 2004.
Super bankrupt, yeah.
It is a fascinating, the whole big
rise
idea.
Rise and fall, yeah.
The rise and fall of VeggieTales.
They sold millions, and we talked about this in one of the first episodes, they sold millions of videos, and then they made a few bad financial moves.
Like what?
I think they spread themselves too thin. They did a theatrical release that didn't make its money back.
Right.
And then Phil Vischer like had to fire more than half of the company at a Christmas party
at
or something.
Their Christmas party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a lot
it
there.
Was basically just like business mismanagement. Everything else was fine. And then,
yeah.
Like, and jumping too high.
And you don't even have to buy his book. I think it's on like a blog or one of his blog archives. He gets into graphic detail of like, and then we invested with this person and that was a bad move. And he like names, and he seems to take a big amount of the responsibility.
Yeah. And Phil Vischer, by the way, is the voice of Bob the Tomato and probably a few other characters.
Yeah.
So.
There's only like four people listed as voice.
The Tom Kenny of VeggieTales, Phil Vischer.
There's only four people listed on that entire video.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they're either like Bob, Mike, who also started with him, or their wife. So. Yeah.
I will say in the commentary track, I do believe Vischer says a total of 10 animators worked on this video. Which I guess is impressive for the time to do a half hour of computer animation in 1995. So it's still like it's the same year Toy Story comes out. So I guess it all just looks amazing.
When I watched the factory scene when they're showing all the things going down the assembly line, I was like, this was a headache for them. I can just imagine like the panning and the figuring out.
There's certain scenes that are like half the frame rates of the other ones too.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Where it almost seems like a loading screen in The Sims or something. Where like usually it's like 30 frames a second. Then for some it'll be 15 or 12 frames a second.
I wouldn't have noticed that.
Yeah. So
interesting.
So this is Rack, Shack, and Benny.
Yes.
One of the classics of the veggie canon.
Yes.
Because we were trying to decide which one to do. And I gave a bunch of choices to Caroline. We went Rack, Shack, and Benny. I think because we recognized most of the songs from it. Some of these songs are still stuck in my head.
It was just one I was like, oh, I remember this one
super
so vividly.
Ones.
Yeah, they're
they
so
were
catchy.
Awful, but they were very catchy. Yes. I want to say awful, just like I can't imagine being a parent and having to listen to this every day.
Sure.
Over and over. The Mother's Lullaby song.
I was thinking of the one where she's like flying the airplane into the factory.
Yes.
That one.
Good morning, George.
Yes.
How are you?
Yes, that.
Oh, we got it queued up, baby.
Good morning,
this is
George.
Laura Carey.
Oh, man.
I hope you're feeling
the vocal
fine.
Sounds like it was recorded in a bathroom. Like an echoey bathroom. You were working with not a lot of money.
Probably
it's okay.
Was. The high pitchness of it would just get to me after a while.
I did feel that upon rewatch.
Yeah.
Like there was a lot of even Larry was pretty squeaky.
Too? Yeah. And to think of an adult voicing that always just makes me feel so creeped.
Yeah. Although that's that's a lot of the Simpsons, that's Powerpuff Girl, that's most animated stuff.
I would have preferred a real child.
You prefer a Peanuts approach.
I like Peanuts.
Where
yeah.
it's children
yeah.
voicing.
Put those kids
children.
On the clock.
Child representation is important. Put those kids on the clock. Violate child labor.
This
laws.
Song in particular, I remember as a kid rehearsing when I was like trying to think of a performance or like a good song to sing. Yeah.
Oh.
I remember thinking it was like kind of hard.
I mean, it is like, I think Danny's right. It's annoying, but they are undeniably
catchy.
It's catchy.
Yeah. They're not, they don't feel dumb. They don't feel like lowest common denominator.
Yeah.
There's a very musical theater.
Right.
Because this is the first video they've done where it's almost like a musical throughout. all of the, because usually it's like
songs.
story, and then we do a song, what do we learn, blah blah blah, and this is more like songs woven throughout. VeggieTales invented the American musical.
The rock opera of VeggieTales. We didn't talk about the beginning segment where they kind of bookend the story with
the
Bob and Larry
countertop.
On the kitchen counter. The premise is that Larry's trying to be cool. He comes in with an oven on his head.
I know.
Because he learned that was the fashions.
I do love that he was like, it's a look. Like, that's a meme.
And he says, fashion has its price.
Now, Danny, it's important. I want to really contextualize for you and for the listener at home what Larry means to Caroline can't be understated. It is, I think, a totem. It is a significant hero in some respects.
You know what? Actually, a really good comparison. He's kind of my Paddington.
Speak on that.
Like, Kevin is very deeply intertwined with Paddington.
He's
in it's like a spiritual way.
He's okay.
But
he's my dad.
But Larry's not nearly as complex as Paddington, but I, in the same way, trust Larry, and I trust his, like, good heart and the way he stumbles into situations and keeps his good attitude, and the way he's silly and without apology is something that I identify with.
That's hilarious.
And we've said this before, but you're going to cry?
Oh, no.
Caroline's husband isn't unlike Larry in a lot of regards, which makes sense.
Is his name Larry?
His name is me.
Not yet.
Wait, how is he like Larry?
In that he's like a very positive, sweet guy.
That's
who's
true.
Very optimistic and sees the good in people.
I thought you were
going
to say he's simple.
No, I mean, listen. <Aww. laughs> And he has all his teeth. That's very unlike Larry. Larry only has one.
That's true.
Kind of a Whistler situation.
That's mostly where they differ. Nate has more teeth. And Nate's got a Larry the Cucumber, if you know what I mean.
All right. All right. Caroline. Good grief. Very racy. Ain't no gherkin is what you said. By the way, have you guys ever seen a shit dam? It is disgusting. Yeah, so this is a retelling. They get a fictional email or mail letter from some kid named Dexter
in Alabama,
or whoever it is.
Yeah, and he says, Dexter wants me to watch shows that I shouldn't. So do you think he was watching, like, House of Cards? Or
what?
No, I think he was watching Cat House on HBO After Dark.
Oh, damn.
And I wish they would have named that show House of Cards.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So this is kind of the common format for these early VeggieTales, where they basically just take a Bible story and then retell it and then add some songs and some wit and perspective to it. And then later, you see, as the series evolves, it kind of just becomes movie parodies, like they do The Lord of the Bean.
That's right.
Indiana Jones parody, but it's like Indiana Cucumber or something like that. I think it's literally Indiana Cuke.
Kind of ran out, I think.
Yeah, I think they little
Indiana Cuke.
Oh, they kind of ran out of steam. Well, maybe we'll visit those.
I had a slight issue with the Mexican nut.
I was going to,
please speak on that. A piece of squash, by the way.
I was going to say well, they called him a nut, though. Or was that just because he was crazy?
Like, you're a crazy nut.
They missed an opportunity to make him a Mexican jumping bean. So, I mean, I was
like, that's too far, Danny.
Even though, because that is the first thing I was like, who is this?
Mm-hmm.
Like immediately when I heard it. And then when I waited for the credits, I'm like, nope, I don't see any Spanish names on here.
No, it's
Mike
definitely.
Wazicali.
Yeah, I think it's the same guy, unfortunately. Yeah, there's a few bits of cultural appropriation in the
I think they put him in a sombrero
with
too.
Larry.
He had the little like Mexican mustache. It was a bit much.
And a heavy accent.
Yeah, he didn't even sound like my uncle, so
this
didn't
song,
even do it right.
We mentioned this on one of the earlier
Good
Question finds. This is one of your favorite silly songs with Larry.
Yes. Although I'm unsure if it's problematic. Probably is, but I think it's very
Most
funny.
Most things are now that we go back and look at it.
Most of reality is problematic.
Yeah, that's true.
Everything
too.
Everything is bad.
That's true too.
But to me, the joke is not like, Latin people are crazy. It was more just like Bob's a fat lump and can't do anything.
Which I will say, a little uncharacteristic of Larry.
Yeah, Larry.
To be a little pointed like that.
Yeah, Larry can be a mean girl.
Has anyone made the comparison of Lumiere and Cogsworth?
Oh, no.
Because I'm making it right now.
Boom,
I see
boom,
that.
Boom.
Like, if you listen to you know, be our guest, Lumiere's kind of like poking at Cogsworth for being heavy, like lazy.
That's completely similar. Yeah, you got the tall, skinny one who's like got a little bit of savoir faire, and then you have the lumpy, you know, pragmatic one.
Right. Thank
you. Saying lumpy.
So they literally, what year did this come out?
No, 95. Well, Beauty and the Beast would have been 92.
94.
Oh, 94?
What is it, or was it 92? No, maybe you're right, because maybe Lion King was 94.
You know what, fam? 94. I'm going to say 91.
Ooh.
No, because I know Little Mermaid was 89, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Me and the Little Mermaid are the same age.
I think Beauty and the Beast, color. You're right, was probably 92. Anyways.
I'm going to. It was. I got the answer in front of me. Last guesses.
Oh, shit. I'll move mine to yours. No, I'm not. I'm going to go 94.
94?
93.
91.
Oh, you were right.
And again.
Kevin's one always of the right only, on the years.
I know. I'm sorry for doing
so
that.
So important.
No, it's not important at all. I should know stuff
people
about
would write you
U.S.
If you didn't,
history.
So.
I mean, that's the thing. You know, you probably know as much as we do about dodging emails as you go.
Speaking of U.S. history, I think VeggieTales is pro-socialism.
Explain that. Pro-socialism.
Okay, if you are paying attention to this movie, the corporation, the capitalist pig, Nezer.
Mm-hmm.
King Nezzy, yeah.
Yeah, he's abusing his workers. He's keeping them too long. He's giving them bad benefits. Too much bunnies. They don't want that.
It is an interesting indictment of like labor conditions. Yeah. Like I was like, are they gonna unionize by the end of this?
Also,
video?
It's unclear if they're children or not. Like they're not with their moms anymore, but they still talk about their moms. Like they're probably 15.
Yeah,
like
they're not fully ripe.
Nice, you get out of
this
here.
Is the free
can I get like an
can...
applause? Right? No, I'm just kidding.
Good job, team.
Hands emoji from us.
Great job, team.
Great job. Great job, team. I don't know if that episode's come out yet. Look it up, fam. Look it up.
But anyway, so I was watching this and I was like, oh, this is saying the like factory conditions were bad and they should have breaks and be able to govern themselves.
I thought Bruce Springsteen was going to do a song. Bruce Stringbean.
In
VeggieTales.
Oh my
and
gosh.
And the factories overworked them.
Oh my gosh. Kevin, hey. You should be the voice of Bruce Springsteen.
Hey guys,
on the new VeggieTales. That'd be so great.
I'm surprised they haven't, since they're rebooting everything, I'm surprised they haven't rebooted VeggieTales. They could easily capitalize on that right now.
Corn in the USA.
I was going to say Born Again in the USA.
Oh, okay.
Oh, corn. Yeah, no, corn's better.
But you're right, actually. They did reboot VeggieTales and it's currently on Netflix.
And it's currently not that good.
It's very weird.
I'm sure the animation's better.
It's
it's better, but it's also worse.
It's
because
hard not to be better.
The animation is just, of course, objectively better, but the designs are weird. The eyes are irises now instead of just dots. Like it's a very spooky looking thing. Yeah, so it was a little left leaning for, yeah, for Christian children's entertainment. And yeah, I was unsure about the ages too, because Junior talks about his mom, Bob and Larry talk, and I found the way Junior talked about his mom to remind me of a little friend of mine who talked about his aunt a lot and about the values of being kind and polite.
Oh gosh.
Kind of as a guiding principle.
Yeah.
That wasn't unlike that.
His mother is used as kind of like the moral authority for them. Even though her song has nothing to do really with like being good, it's just like, remember I'm mom.
She did look like a celery version of the broccoli version of Marge Simpson. Did you guys think that?
Marjorie just the way has that hair.
Yeah,
she
and like the pearls too.
Oh, yeah.
That's fine.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie. This kind of, her voice sounds a little Disney-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah. The songs are not bad. I think the songs are good, and I think there's a lot of flavor to it that keeps it from being blander than other similar children's entertainment. Like there's weird jokes, like the old man who kind of frames the story within the story. It feels like an Our Town reference. Like, well, it looks like the boys are up to
funny.
Trouble. Like, it felt like that character.
Who's like the gatekeeper.
The omniscient narrator in that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we need to talk about the bunny. So in the Bible story, it's just like a golden image or an idol that Nebuchadnezzar wants Shadrach, Meshach.
It's 90 feet high.
Yes, 90 feet high. And this, it's a chocolate bunny.
Oh, yes, because I don't know if we've made this clear yet, but they work at a chocolate bunny factory.
Yeah.
And man, that made me hungry as a kid. Nothing I wanted more.
Not now.
Not now. No, it looks weird. But yeah, so Nezer, who is the owner of the company, and his flunky is the Mexican squash. I'm assuming he's Mexican. I don't know. You guys,
they called him a bean. No, they called him a nut. Yeah.
There's a lot of
But you know what? Nuts aren't veggies, so nuts I'll default veggies. To you.
But tomatoes are fruit, technically, too. So maybe that's just like health food.
But is pine pajamas a cross or a cock? Yeah, there's a lot of mislabeling here.
Yeah. Nezer decides to erect a giant bunny. And then pretty much in a straight parallel to the Bible story, rather than any kind of parody, he just commands them to worship it and sing the bunny song, which we have to play because it's so good.
The bunny song is fundamental to, and yeah, you would think they would like convert this a little bit. Like, if you don't do it, I'm going to make you work in my kitchen instead of the fat. No, but it's still like, yeah. No, I'm going to put you in a furnace and burn you.
Right.
I'm going to kill them. Yeah. Burn them alive.
I'm going to murder
them. The punishment
them.
Is still the same, even though the object is very different.
Yeah.
So an interesting thing about the bunny song is a controversial song in the VeggieTales canon.
Really?
Because upon the first original release, it was the version I think we all saw on YouTube, the bunny. I don't care about my mom or dad. Yeah, it was that. But then Big Idea, the company who made this, got a lot of complaints from parents. My kid is singing this. My kid is singing, I don't love my mom or dad. So then upon subsequent re-releases on video and DVD and then on the soundtrack, they changed the lyrics to fix the song.
How haunting to hear your small child singing a blues song.
I don't love my mom or my dad, just the booty. So this is what it sounds like on the soundtrack.
Now, kids, we're going to sing along with one of my favorite songs, the bunny song.
This is different.
Let Master Pasta sing the bunny song.
Oh, thank you for pointing that out, Jean-Claude.
It's a minion.
Yeah. Banana. It is a minion.
The bunny.
So they fixed the lyrics here.
Whoa, I ate the bunny. I didn't eat my soup or my bread, just the bunny. The bunny, the bunny. Oh, I love the bunny. But now I feel sick in the head from the bunny.
Yeah, see, they changed the tenses and now it's like a corrective bunny song. Because it was too
bunny.
Yeah, they.
It was Black Eyed Peas. Let's get it started.
Ooh, and the original version, Let's Get Departed and then talk about death,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
that was
it.
That was what I thought. It just addressed mortality too directly. I want to hear about that. I will say a little bit of feminism in the Veggie Tales. Laura Carrot gets to save them from the furnace.
That's right. That's a nice girl.
Female role.
She came and saved the day. An interesting thing about that was I thought there was going to be like God's miracle when they didn't get thrown in the furnace, because you know that'd be a great tie-in. But then it was just Laura that swooped in, because the lesson of the story was like, you know, I need to follow God basically, and he'll save me. But then the second round, when he throws him in the furnace again, is when we get the parallel of like the angel potentially in the furnace that's like saved them from being burned alive.
Is it an angel or is it supposed to be like an image of God? Because I always thought it was the latter.
I always thought it was an angel. Because in the Bible it says it looked like one of the son of the gods or something like that.
The son of God?
Not the son of God.
Oh, just one of the
sons
of
God. One of the sons?
Like a Sons of Anarchy?
Welcome to the Big Old Family. It's me, JC, Jeff.
Sup? I'm Jeff.
And I'm Caroline.
People don't talk about me enough. So that was fun, all those little action sequences. But the bunny song, I will say, it may be called the bunny song, but it was a real earworm for me for the last 20 years.
Wow. Yeah, totally.
Sincerely, like... If you said the bunny song, I would be able to sing it. And I've probably seen this, I don't know how many times when I was a kid. Maybe twice or three times. I truly don't know. I have no memory.
Did you sing the version where you said, I don't love my mom or my dad?
Yeah, and I made eye contact with them and like ripped up family photos.
Hey, they're the ones that bought it for you, so.
Did you enjoy watching this? Did it feel...
No. No.
Divorced from nostalgia, I am curious as what the experience is.
No, like. I'm so tired.
Is there anything of merit in here that you found?
Yeah, the songs I felt
the
were
songs
good,
are,
like of quality.
Yeah,
I
they
thought,
remain.
Oh man, the high pitched voice is very difficult to listen to, but I respect them for the fact that this was just like a straight to, you know, VHS most, right? Like,
yeah, oh yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
But it had like actual decent music. Yeah.
They did have good music.
Decent-ish music, like the closing number, Stand.
Oh, yes.
Again, in my head.
God, this voice.
Yeah.
It's rough, I hear you.
Like, two octaves down, it would be a better hang than it
it's
is
like
now.
It's like too cute.
Yeah, I hate cute kids.
I have to talk like a baby.
I don't know, some guys
babies
like that.
Don't talk like that.
Have you even talked to a baby, Phil Vischer? You would know that they're not like that.
I want the
like
baby
that.
From
Baby Representation.
Roger Rabbit. You know, it's like a smoker.
What you believe in,
See?
Believe in God.
He's the one to back you up.
Why do we know this?
I don't know.
How many times did you watch this video, Caroline?
I must have watched this one dozens of times, probably.
Yeah.
Like this one, Madame Blueberry, the original one, and a few other. I was just watching all the time.
This is like your version of listening to a Radiohead record over and over again in college. Just put them on repeat.
It's upon the 10th listen that you really start to connect with the message.
These vegetables have layers.
Wow.
Here's one fun... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say that this is the first time, actually, now that I think about it, that I think Junior actually mentions God in the episode. Like, up until then, it could have been...
Yeah.
No, they say God will be faithful to us.
Oh, okay.
Like, when they're talking about, like, oh, yeah, you can put us in the furnace. God's going to protect us, I think, right?
By the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was I thought it was a little more elegantly integrated into it than like Where's God When I'm Scared, which is just like kind of the punchline at the end, where this is a little more interwoven.
By the way, yeah.
Yeah. So it's fun. It's good.
It's fun.
I think.
Yeah. That movement where they pull the bunny ears out of the bunnies with a glove in the factory. Yeah. I think about that all the time. And when I saw the movie, I was like, oh my gosh.
I think this is like a nice
like
translation of a Bible story. As crude and kind of strange to look at as the animation is, I feel like the general virtue of it, of like standing by your prince. And I know I was kidding in the intro we recorded before you got here, but it's not unlike kneeling instead of pledging allegiance to the flag. It's not unlike that.
Like protesting the idea of it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Rather than like just blind putting your faith in whatever nation you happen to be a part of at the time.
Yeah. The idea that you have principles outside of the authority figure or whatever and being able to stand up and recognize like, no, I'm not going to do that. I draw the line.
And I think it's
great.
I think it's a little messed up. Colin Kaepernick hasn't tweeted about VeggieTales.
About VeggieTales specifically?
Yeah. I think that's wrong of him.
I'm pretty sure he said that like they're my moral heroes.
If you take like the first letter of his last 50 tweets, it's like it's Larry, Larry is my God. But even like rounding out things like, we put bad little bunnies in that. Like, I think the voice, like the adult voice actors in it, I thought Nezer was funny.
Yeah,
like, I thought that was a good performance.
And I talked about this on the previous VeggieTales episode, but the thing that helps me stand VeggieTales even now is there is a level of cleverness, like beyond the obvious jokes that make it enjoyable to me. And just Bob the Tomato being like, I am sitting. Now I'm standing.
Oh, the sitting versus just standing.
Like little jokes that are like kind of old fashioned, like vaudeville humor even, but they're still like cute and things you don't see all the time.
Well, and it even seemed a little self-referential to the crudeness of the animation.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you even doing?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So there is some modicum of self-awareness. Speaking of animation, though, I will say one fun nugget I found out in researching this is that according to Vischer on the DVD commentary, at least, they put this out. And then he said, Pixar gave us a call.
Wow.
And they said,
you
oh. they said,
ha ha.
We're going to destroy you. No, it's better. It's even more Schadenfreude. Schadenfreude? How do you pronounce it?
Schadenfreude.
Then that, in that, they asked them, oh, that animation where they're eating and binging the chocolate bunnies. And they're chewing it in a particular way. We haven't, like, figured out how to do that over at Pixar. How'd you guys do that?
Wow.
And Vischer said, we didn't tell them.
Yeah.
What?
That's why that happened to you.
And that's why you ended out on top.
And that's why you got Rack Shack and Benny, and they have Wally.
Yeah.
Coco.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah. You didn't tell them?
Isn't that hilarious?
It's
like,
weirdly
we couldn't
competitive.
Share the secrets of.
Yeah.
Chill out.
To chewing? Like,
yes!
That's going to be the undoing of you. That's the edge they needed to get ahead.
Did you think Larry was a bit of a D-bag for leaving Bob in the sink at the end? He leaves him in the sink.
I like to think Larry was on the way to help someone else. In
I think that's an optimistic
altruistic
read of
at heart.
I think he wanted to him to use, you know, what's inside him.
Yeah.
To get out.
Tomato
maybe
juice?
Yeah. Seeds? He wanted Bob to pull himself up by his own bootstraps.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he has legs.
Rugged individualism.
I do like how much they reference that they have no arms or legs.
Yeah.
Like, there's
I don't have any arms.
There's no allusion to it. I will say, though, the factory, does it look like they're even working that hard? There's no arms.
It looks like they're
it
just
seems pretty
it.
Automated.
Oh, yeah. I guess
yeah.
they just have to watch it. So wait, do they not have misses ever? Like
girl vegetables?
No, I mean, do they have wives?
Oh, does Larry have a wife he's neglecting at home?
No, you know what? Junior
Mr.
Asparagus.
Mr. Potato Head has a wife.
Oh, yeah.
He has a wife, but Junior
Mrs.
Asparagus'
Potato
parents
oh,
are
oh,
married.
Oh, I am aware.
Pac-Man has a wife.
Yeah.
Mrs. Pac-Man.
Mrs. Pac-Man. Yeah, there's
he doesn't
no.
have arms.
Mario Wait, has a wife.
So you're saying there is no Mrs.
Bowser.
Larry?
There's no Mrs. Yeah.
Larry, so.
All right, let's
She's
ship
single.
Larry with some of our favorite fictional characters. Caroline just pointed at herself. You're married. You're married to the human equivalent of Larry already.
I know, you know this is not allowed, but I feel like they should be married to each other.
Bob and Larry?
Thank you.
That would be, it's 2018.
I now
update.
Pronounce you Bob and Larry.
Yeah, do you think they are like a Bert and Ernie situation? Like really the entire time they're gay for each other?
I hope so, because I want them to be happy.
Yeah.
And I want them to live in their truth. So let's hope. If they ever get like if there's a woke Veggie Tales
yeah,
reboot,
they have a dysfunctional marriage.
That Bob and Larry begin each episode by kissing.
Say goodnight.
Yeah, it's kind of sweet when you think about it.
It is sweet.
It's just like a good vegetable smoothie,
pressed juice
that they make together. All right, any final thoughts on Rack Shack and Benny?
Nope.
No.
No. I'm like I will probably never see this ever again in my life. That's kind of interesting.
That is interesting.
It is
I may not either, though. Now that I think about it, this could be it.
I mean, some of this is like revisiting it. It's like, you know what? This is all right. And then some of it's like, it's all right, but I think it's time to say goodbye.
Yeah.
And shut the door on this part of my life. For you, Caroline, do you feel like there's things that you interpret differently from this viewing of it than maybe you did when you were a kid?
Besides the political socioeconomic points? That's a good question.
Well, and the ethnic appropriations perhaps from time to time
and the feminist carrot. Yeah, I think looking back again, I'm just like, this was pretty well done, all things considered. I would say the message was slightly convoluted because it was sort of mixed in like obeying God and also like don't worry about being cool, which says like, oh, if you're a Christian, you're never going to be cool. You could be always like this outsider or whatever. And we've talked about this before, but sometimes this idea of like I'm purposely counterculture to make a point can be bad and can just, I don't know, alienate people. But it's also nice to be like, oh, if I was dorky, it's okay. I'll be accepted by God.
Well, it's a weird kind of trump card at the end where it's like, well, your God is better than my bunny God.
Yeah.
So this God wins because of this, like what we were talking about before, this kind of tangible show of power.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that sets kids up to believe that those... Not literally, like if they walk into their mom's fireplace, that Jesus will save them. But
yeah,
just
but
in
a
the
miracle
sense of like,
will come up.
That
will
there will be,
it.
Yeah, like, you know, strength is might for right. Or
I feel like that's how most people feel about their student loans. That it's just like a miracle and they're just going to go away somehow.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
God will take care of us.
Yeah.
I've seen some people get into financially rocky marriages starting that way.
Woof.
Saying God will take care of us?
Well, just like, you know what, baby, it's us against the world and we're just going to figure it out.
Ooh.
Rather than like taking care. I think that's an LA thing too. I feel like I've seen a lot.
I've seen a lot of like, hey, I have a lot of debt and you don't. I mean, not with me. I would love
Let's
that.
Match.
But yeah, but you know what I mean? Like a lot of sugar daddy situations for sure.
Oof.
It would be an honor to absorb someone's debt.
Aww. That's
I would
love
to join bank accounts with some I almost said lucky lady out there. I won't go that far. Some poor, lady. Unfortunate
no,
soul out there.
No, I was actually, now that I think, I went lucky. To, you guys, last week I went to Massage Envy, and it was, I like had a stressful week, and then I sit down in the waiting room, and there's this guy, and he's talking about how he bought his girlfriend. He was like, oh yeah, she's so much younger. Like, she's like 28. I don't know. He was probably in his 50s, and he was like, I bought her a car in Hawaii, like, so she could have one when she goes there. And then here, he like, I bought her a car, you know, I paid for her mortgage and stuff. And I just was like, I know. And I was like supposed to be like de-stressing. And anyway, sure. I got his number and no, I'm just kidding.
And but that's definitely
a thing. And I'm on the payroll.
Yeah, that's definitely a thing.
Do you think this sets up expectations in a bad way for like how God works?
If you're a dumb kid.
All right. Well, we'll end on that. So the way this works, Danny, is that we're going to give VeggieTales, Colin, Rackshack, and Benny a thumbs up or a thumbs down in the form of a holy toast or a holy roast. Holy toast, we're sending Rackshack and Benny to heaven. Heaven bound. Or holy roast, we send those veggies to roast in hell. To hell. Caroline, we'll start with you as per usual. If you're done draining the swamp over there.
My nose? Yeah.
Yeah.
This may be nostalgia, but I'm going to give it a holy toast. I think it's a good show, and it's entertaining, and I was still giggling when watching. And maybe that's because I remembered the jokes or something, but it just, I don't know, it's sweet. Certainly not perfect. Certainly not the best production quality, but again, for our very low bar of Christian entertainment, leaps and bounds ahead of everything else. And so I enjoy it, and I think the message is like, it could get convoluted, but I think it's good of, you know, stick to your principles, stick to what you believe in, and...
unless it's against our flag.
Listen to your mommies.
Yeah, and listen to your mommies.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I'm
Lucy. Danny, we turn to you.
Listen, you should have shared with Disney, okay? I'm giving you a roast just because of that.
Withholding it's from Pixar.
Yeah, me and the cast of Beauty and the Beast give you...
The whole cast.
The whole cast.
Lumiere's roasting
you. Yeah, the maid.
Cogsworth is roasting you.
Chip.
Chip, Mrs. Potts.
You didn't think Chip was roasting.
Angela Lansbury.
Do you love that how, yeah, the little ottoman that's a dog. Uh-huh. Do you love how, like, she has other... She has other teacup sons, yeah. But like she only Chip is the only one
clearly
that like
she
I think
has
they
a
come alive
now.
Too, right? But yeah,
oh yeah, he's the only one that comes back to life. Like I think all of her other,
I think
kids,
she's a
right,
fixer. You know, she's just drawn to the broken people.
Well,
that's
maybe
she keeps
her other
up in
sons
bad
were
marriages.
Little d bags.
I don't think that she. You know what? We never saw her husband, so she has a lot of kids for not having a husband.
I thought Cogsworth was her husband.
What? No.
No.
What?
He's.
Did you really think
May
that?
I just
I'm sorry.
That
do
to
you
be
not
true.
Know Beauty and the Beast canon?
No, Beauty. And the
that's
Ice Monster in the 2016
Cogsworth is
version.
Definitely single. He's definitely single. I think they've like, I don't know if they reference that, but I know he like.
I'm trying to think of the live action if he has anyone. No, he's married in the live action one.
Oh.
Isn't
to what?
The piano his wife?
To what?
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make
a tiny
sense.
Clock
they
in
took
a piano.
Some liberties, yeah.
It might be that wardrobe. Remember the wardrobe
oh,
lady?
Oh, maybe it's the wardrobe. Yeah, because she's an opera singer.
Quick survey. What's your favorite song that Disney added to one of their classic musicals
oh,
for a Broadway
wow.
adaptation or a remake?
Oh, they're so bad.
Mine is Proud of Your Boy in Aladdin.
Proud of Your Boy.
Of which there is a Clay oh Aiken cover on the 2002
you know,
DVD release.
You looked this up.
No, I just knew it.
I don't know if it was for Broadway, but I don't mind Human Again.
Yeah, I was thinking
okay,
Human Again.
Yeah.
Isn't there one for Lion King that they added on? Mm-hmm. Oh, this is the Morning Report.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You ever heard this one?
I heard of the Square of Life.
Oh, God.
Well, holy roast from Danny. I give
Have
it
you
a-
seen a shit damn?
It's gross.
It stinks.
It's disgusting. I'm giving this a holy toast because I Yay. Was charmed and I didn't think again for our bar of what entertainment is on this show if it doesn't actively cause harm or damage
it's good
or is politically like out of it then yeah. Yeah it's all right and I think to Danny's point the songs are still good yeah. And as the greatest yeah. showman showed us if the songs are solid it can cover
wow.
for a multitude of sins.
It can carry the tune, if you will.
If you know what I mean. So, 2-1, we're sending these veggies to vegetable heaven. Heaven bound. Which I call veggie grill. No, I guess that'd be hell, wouldn't it?
It's your heaven. there.
Those fried zucchini that you get at the beginning?
Maybe an organic farm would be veggie heaven.
But we're not the final word on this, dear listener. You're the final word. So go to @ChristianFunPod. You can give it a holy roast, a holy toast, or put in purgatory in
the space between.
So go on @ChristianFunPod and
Pokemon go to the polls.
So many clips.
Wow.
By the end of this podcast, it'll be 65% drops.
Yep.
And we'll be right back with more good Christian fun.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time for an old classic segment, I would call to say. By the way, this is episode 33.
Wow.
If we were Jesus, this would be our last episode.
Oh, shoot.
But if we're not Jesus, we'll never be Jesus. So we'll do at least 33 more.
We're definitely not Jesus. We're Lucifer.
It's time for a segment we call Thumper Bumpers. Thumper Bumpers. Caroline, it's been a while since we've done this segment. What is Thumper Bumper?
It has been a while. Thumper Bumper is where I read Christian witticisms or things that might go on a bumper sticker, and we just try to dissect what this means. But today, we're going to do a special game with this. I've written a couple of my own Thumper Bumpers.
Oh, great.
It's up to you all to figure out which one it was.
Which is the Caroline original?
Aww.
And which is the outside sourced? Okay. I'm ready for this.
Okay. This one's a short one. If God is your co-pilot, swap seats.
Okay. So that should be...
Think about it.
Are we dissecting this or are we guessing if this is yours or not?
We can dissect it real quick and then move along.
So...
What? That's so...
I guess the idea of like God should be the head pilot.
But that doesn't make sense. God wants you to like make your own decisions. And
right.
Like...
But...
God should be your co-pilot.
If God's your pilot, then that means I don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God likes maybe, those who help themselves.
Maybe.
It's true.
That's in the Bible.
Maybe maybe turn off autopilot. Get him on the pilot seat.
No, yeah. I mean, listen. God's not Sully.
I'm Sully.
From Monsters, Inc.
Okay. Here's the next one. Don't let your worries get the best of you. Remember, Moses started out as a basket case.
That's adorable.
That's you. That's you.
That's adorable.
It's you, isn't it? Are you going to tell us?
Not yet. We have one last one.
Okay.
Save a horse, ride a Palm Sunday donkey.
Oh, no.
Save a horse, ride a cowboy. That's the country song. But I don't understand the moral it's supposed to be imparting to us. Save a horse, ride a Palm Sunday donkey. So that's what Jesus did on Palm Sunday.
Right.
He rode a donkey.
Yeah.
Like Shrek, the most Christ-like of the DreamWorks characters.
Do you have a guess of which one was mine?
I think in retrospect, it's
this
save
one?
A horse. Yeah.
Yeah, the one that I didn't really think through the meaning, and that's a good point. And I'll take that feedback and I'll work harder next time.
So it's just, hey, Jesus, don't ride a horse. It's just directing Jesus.
I guess it's like maybe if you're a Christian and you want to be a little cheeky and also you're a country lover, this is one for you.
Oh, instead of riding a cowboy, because that's inappropriate.
Right. Oh, yes. So it's an abstinence thing.
Yeah. Or, yeah. Or it's just like, I'll slap this on my car and you'll know I like country and Jesus. It's like a message sender, you know, like putting a fish on your car.
I would rather a bumper sticker that just says, I love country and Jesus.
But it doesn't, because they're putting it on their car. It should be like, save a horse, drive a car. What?
That's what I did.
Well, there's so much about this great mystery of faith that doesn't make sense, including some of these. That was a good selection.
Thank you.
That was very good.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. And
that's been my segment.
That's been Thumper Bumper. Thumper Bumper. We'll change the theme song at some point. Not yet. Okay.
I got jumpy.
And now it's time once again for the hunt for the worst Christian song of all time.
The worst.
Artificial
sex. So the previous champion from last week was Letters to the President.
Oh, yeah.
By Hawk Nelson.
Oh, wow. I forgot about that.
I cannot tell what's going on in this song.
I'm with you.
Can't either. And
it doesn't make sense.
Here's a little peek behind the GCF curtain. We're recording this before our previous episode where we crowned that the champion came out. So if you guys have feedback, we haven't heard it yet. So again, don't yell at us. But they are Canadian, so that helps unlock a little bit of the mystery.
They were 100% sound like Fall Out Boy's first album.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is like 2004.
Saturday.
Totally.
Yeah. Are you into Fall Out Boy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm still into Fall Out Boy.
Are they? They kind of came back a year or two ago, right?
Yeah. You know, I made a joke that they were like just making songs for like stadiums, you know, for like sports games.
Sure.
Sports games.
That's true.
No, that's what they sound like the last. But, you know, I respect it because they're still making millions by changing their sound, and a lot of rock, a lot of their style has died. So I feel if you want to be relevant,
you got to evolve.
Yeah.
You gotta be bad. You gotta be bold. You gotta be wiser.
I like Jessica Simpson's sports song.
She has a sports song?
Oh, Rihanna has one too. This is American Oxygen. Whoa!
That's a sports song?
Yeah.
That's not a sports one.
Yeah. They played it during some sports thing.
Yeah, but
What are we saying is a sports song?
No, I don't think it's the same thing.
Wait, I think define the sports song.
Oh, shoot. I was thinking of like ESPN, you know, when they like cut into the Super Bowl or whatever. It's like the theme song.
I hear you. I'm thinking of like what they play at stadiums, you know, to get people riled up, which is like
we will rock you.
Oh, okay.
That like Fall Out Boy one, you know?
That makes sense.
Just screaming and clapping. Or like Wake Up by Arcade Fire. Maybe
so
that's
light them up,
up.
That's like clearly made for a sport, like
just
a sports
jumping.
Like a football game or hockey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Hawk Nelson, what kind of buildings are they making music for? Oh, the Parliament building for one.
Postal offices.
Could you make heads or tails of these lyrics in terms of like what they want to happen politically?
No. Okay, so they said they want to send it to the president, but also the president is going to give it to Parliament.
Right.
The chain of command is
But
in Canada they have a Parliament.
Oh.
This is what I figured out. Yeah.
Oh, they're Canadian. So
Caroline did some sleuthing and found out Canada did some basic research.
No, so our neighbors up north.
It's really annoying because it's someone like, I have a secret, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to tell you.
Ooh, don't make me.
I love coy songwriting.
They're like, now I just won't do it. That sounds like me like during a breakup or something. Like, I would break up with you, but for now I just won't.
Thinking about it.
Yeah.
And just like be careful or else.
That's exactly what they're doing.
Would you say
song.
They're being a bit of a hawk tease?
Wow.
Oh, are they? Boy. No, that's a real question.
A hawk tease is when you hold out a piece of
meat. So do they want to write a letter to the president to exonerate people, but then also they talked about date rape? I was very
And gay marriage.
And gay marriage.
And the death penalty.
Okay, so they don't agree with these.
My safe assumption is that they don't agree with gay marriage or any of the other crimes in their book. But what's unclear is if they want gay marriage to have the same punishment as other crime.
Rape?
Yeah.
It sounds
but that seems
I'm so
wild.
Confused. I'm so confused about like, what are you writing the president?
Yeah. What is the letter?
Date rape is illegal.
Right. It's already bad.
Gay marriage at the time, whenever this was made, I don't know, was not legal in many places. And then what was the other one?
Stealing cars.
Stealing but like cars. That's like also illegal. So what are you trying to get him to do? Like crack down more?
I guess they just didn't want like gay marriage to become legal or something, or so to be considered anything you're just but a crime.
Yeah.
And lest we forget our friend Tommy the crackhead, who because it, now here's where it gets a little strange, because what we're saying is like all these pretty right wing things like gay marriage should be illegal. But then at the same time, they're advocating for public school funding, which is not a conservative value.
Yes, yeah.
A conservative value is just cut in, let the free market figure it out, and do vouchers
privatized
and stuff.
Education. Yeah.
Whereas they say, take a good look at Tommy. He's a track star, good role model, has a chance to go real far. Then the school made a budget cut out the track team. Now instead, Tommy is a crackhead.
I don't know if it works that way.
Yeah.
I don't know if it works that way.
Track or crack?
Yeah.
The dichotomy? Gay same-sex marriage in a
crack.
State where they don't care murder is wrong, but the jail time's not there. Is it not in Canada?
Jail time? I mean,
is murder legal in Canada? I'm asking for
a
friend.
If it's legal,
we got
no jail time.
That's so funny.
Fun.
Not to mention date rape, felony, and cars that break it down. And tell me what we've got left. I don't know what we've got left.
Damn it.
So this is confounding. This is upsetting in some ways because of the confusion.
Yeah.
But just the general sense of like these boys are not already even 13, 14 years into the future, not on the right side of history.
Yeah.
If even they are.
I wonder if some of them have grown up.
And kind of regret what they said. I know Barlow Girl has grown up and they kind of renounced their abstinence song a little bit.
Did they?
A little bit, yeah.
The Jonas Brothers did. So.
Yes, for sure.
Oh, yeah. They took those True Love Waits promise rings and put them on
their
dicks. Yep. Yep, they did. No, that was true. Uh-huh. We were both there for it. At Reality
Wait,
LA.
But their fingers are, that's not very big.
Yeah. That's what makes it so upsetting. So I thought a good
your dick shouldn't be the size of your finger. What?
Or maybe
literally, I don't care. This? But your finger?
Or maybe the Jonas Brothers got rings that were too big, just in case.
They got thumb rings.
Yeah, they were like, just in case this goes south.
Just in case
this goes south.
Wow.
Perhaps. I don't know. I don't know their hearts.
Oh.
But I thought a good
I don't think that that's real. I'm sorry. This is going to bother me.
What?
That they put their rings on their dicks. Did you make that up?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we did.
But we.
Sleep
but,
I mean, tonight,
I
wouldn't.
I know people
the
that
rings
have
are
like
not on the dicks.
Like had, you know, like their wrestling belts and like bang people. I don't know what I'm allowed to say on here. But like, I know that
anything.
It's a thing. I know that that's a thing.
To use your wrestling belt?
No, I mean.
Like to wear it while having sex.
Yes, there you go.
Okay.
Oh, that sounds cool.
So
that's
I can
Monday
imagine
night
them.
At the Ely house.
Oh. Who's John Cena?
You know who.
John Pena. Anyway.
Wow. Anyway, so I could imagine them like doing something like that, but.
I would bet that there are people for whom the purity movement and abstinence and true love waits, that once you kind of started to disregard those values, that you came up with something creative to do with your ring, whether it's bury it in the woods as you bury what you thought to be like the old version of yourself.
Toss it in the Mount of Mordor.
Or use it for foreplay.
Yeah. I like to envision all three Jonas Brothers stacking their rings in the center and then them all taking a collective pee on it.
Wow.
Just
that's
like
so specific.
Like a carnival game.
Well, it's kind of sweet too. Like it's a kind of a trust building exercise in a way.
They all got to move on together.
The contender for letters to the president is another letter-based song.
Oh, wow.
It is a letter-based song called Dear John Letter by Keith Green.
Whoa. Dear John Letter.
Keith Green is a Christian artist in the 70s. He unfortunately died at a very young age in a plane crash. I think it is late 20s or early 30s. But he was, as you'll hear, kind of a Elton John sound-alike guy.
Ooh.
Very singer-songwritery, very, you know, part of the Jesus movement, kind of a hippie. And the full title of this song is Dear John Letter, parentheses, to the devil.
Wait, is he calling him the devil?
We'll find out.
Dear John Letter, parentheses, to the devil.
Here we go. It's kind of fun.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Woo! Yeah.
Woo.
Let's listen.
Oh, I used to love you, but now that's hard to do. Because I got some information about them evil things at night that you do.
Like sex.
Yeah.
The whole thing is true.
Or stay up too late. This is very Elton John.
What if he was just like evading taxes, but like it's like just dumb stuff?
You didn't claim your income.
Jaywalking.
How my daddy cried the day I left my home. You said you'd always keep me satisfied. But oh, how you lie, you lie.
Well, he's doing characters.
I shattered my mama's words, but then I guess I had too much pride. Original sin. Whoa. I used to lie awake at night and see your face on the ceiling. Whoa, what a bad feeling I have when I think of how you almost got me in the ways of the world, in the ways of the world. My so-called friends say I misjudged you. My anger's all in vain, but I'm afraid you got to them before I had a chance to explain. And it caused me such pain. Ouch! They were such good friends of mine, but now you've got them playing your game. You creep. Wow!
I
used to lie awake at night and see your face on the ceiling. Whoa, what a bad feeling I have when I think of how you almost got me in the ways of the world, in the ways of the world. Oh, in the ways of the world, in the ways of the world.
Do a guitar solo instead. He's playful. So that's fun.
He's a theatrical little fella.
Whoa!
Whoa, on the ceiling.
You know, he's almost doing Bob Dylan parodies of his like vocal outbursts at certain points. Okay,
that's
here's
a little
the last
bit like
one.
A musical.
I believe in Jesus. And what he said is gonna do. He put an apple in your lion mouth and cook you in a sulfur.
What?
That's intense.
Woo! One that'll never be through. Is it soup yet? No. Oh, but if he hadn't rescued me, then I'd be down there cooking too. Oh. Oh, if Jesus hadn't rescued me, then I'd be cooking right next to you. Ooh, I used to lie awake.
Okay, and then back to the chorus.
I would be so honored if someone wrote this about me.
Like this, like, level of attention.
Yeah, you were like someone I never even considered, and you're saying that I almost brought you to the dark side.
Well, is he talking
is
about
telling, saying that
a
he's
person or
the devil?
Or devil?
It's a letter to what?
Is it a letter to
dear John Letter
to Lucifer?
To Lucifer.
Oops, not yet.
Oh, maybe it is to the. I thought it was like a specific person.
Well, it could be, because some
It'd
of the things
like,
sound like you're just talking about a coworker.
Like me writing Cardi B and being like, you almost got me. You almost brought me over to your side.
Gosh. Did you see that meme going around where Cardi B looks like the rumor weed on her newest album?
No.
From
oh my
Larry
gosh,
Boy?
She does look like the rumor weed.
A little bit.
The rumor weed.
Yeah, so I used to love you, but now that's hard to do because I got some information about them evil things at night that you do, and the whole thing is true. We're through. Oh, you're such a devil. How do you get me to believe you were true? Ooh!
Original sin. Whoa!
So I guess he is writing to Satan.
Yeah, I think he's writing to Satan. You know, or the idea of Satan drawing him over to the dark side.
He used to love Satan?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I don't think most people love Satan.
You know how people in their, like, in their witness story, they'll be like, I used to love sin, and I was all about it. And I was like, you didn't love sin. You just, like, having, you know, drugs and stuff or whatever. You know,
No one consciously
is like, I love sinning.
You love
being
sin?
Bad.
No, I don't think so.
No.
My mama warned me, and how my daddy cried the day I left home. You said you'd always keep me satisfied. Again, does Satan do that?
Yeah.
Or is it the promising of the allure of a sinful
life?
Yeah,
the allure of like, ooh, I'll get everything I want to do.
You almost got... Wait, but the first part when he said, but then I heard what you do late at night, that's why I thought it was a person.
So is it like he's spying on the devil? Like
masturbating?
Cranking it?
I saw you cranking off. And that was the turning point.
The devil's like, I'll be out in a minute. Hang on. Wow.
You use my bathroom all the time.
Ooh, I saw you Kleenex. Okay.
I'll use a Kevinism and say this song rocks. I like it. I think it's fun. With the exception of the last verse. That seems not good.
The last verse is harsh in a way that is
Jesus doesn't cook people in sulfur stews.
Jesus doesn't gleefully send people to hell.
I always hate when people use Christ like that. I'm like, you don't know him.
Exactly. Yeah. Jesus wasn't like excited about the fact
he hung out with hookers. Okay.
The messed up people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hung out with Sarah Bareilles live in 2018 on NBC.
Yeah, but he wasn't like, like rubbing his hands together and like getting an apple ready to like shove it in your mouth and send you to hell.
And that's the big red flag for me with this song, because I do think there's a certain, I think specifically kind of man, I think women too, but there's a kind of man I've seen that's like super into the doctrine of hell. Where hell is like, there's something that's so satisfying about that sense of infinite, ultimate justice.
Yeah.
That's really appealing.
It's vengeance.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, in a way where it's like, oh, the cause and effect things in my life. I don't think I deserve this. I don't think that good person deserves this. There's something about, ooh, but it all gets settled in the end. Yeah. That's appealing to this weird, to all these the weird what base desires.
I see what I get a red flag from is from guys like this that are like, I'm not like you. And it's like, no, you are. Like, I feel like all the politicians that are like, we need to ban porn. And then they you know, it turns out that they're like furries that, you know what I mean?
They
like,
got a wide stance in an airport bathroom.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I feel like it's the ones that are the most vocal about it are the ones that end up, because it's like something inside them that they're trying to hide, or they're trying to
fight inside themselves,
or they're just trying to really distract people, and then they end up being the ones that have like the most pornography on their stuff.
Wait a minute, so. Keith Green, it's not easy being green. Kermit, wait, the Muppets came out in the 70s. Is Keith Green a Muppy?
I'm curving and I'm cranking it.
Ooh, I see what you do.
But I agree. I think we've listened to a lot of songs at this point like this, where people will talk about their like getting close and dabbling and maybe being deceived for a moment, but then this like incredible sense of superiority and feeling like, but I didn't get caught and you did. You dumbass, and like you're gonna go to hell. And yeah, I'm like almost excited and like celebrating and making jokes about it too, that are like not joking matters. If that's what you really believe, it should be like infinitely sad to you.
Yeah,
you know, in a lot of ways. So the song rocks, but it also does.
I mean, that last verse, I believe in Jesus and what he said he's gonna do. He'll put an apple in your lying mouth and cook you in a sulfur stew. Woo.
Is it
one
soup
that'll
yet?
Never be through. Is it soup yet? No.
Wow.
That's maybe one of the funniest things we've ever heard on this show. Oh, but if he hadn't rescued me, then I'd be down there cooking too. So that's harsh and that's sad. That being said, I understand the thrust of this song and what's good and what's bad
what
about it.
What they're trying to do.
Letters to the President is still, gay marriage is murder, I think.
It's
I don't
so
know.
Confusing. Yeah. It,
yeah. So based on these things, what is the worst Christian song of all time for this week?
I guess the Letters to the President one is still worse because I don't know what the hell's going on.
Yeah.
I don't know what in the sulfur stew is going on.
Yeah. I will say musically worse than this song also. I think this song is fun. And actually up until the last verse, I was like, I could get into this. I like it. I could sing along.
I don't like the devil.
Yeah. He's kind of a jerk. But then Letters to the President. Yeah. The fact that it's hateful, but also like convoluted and confusingly hateful is just like, well, I don't like any of this. I just feel very uncomfortable and I can't even argue with you because I don't know what you're dealing with here. Mm-hmm. So, worse.
I would concur. Letters to the President is worse. So, all right.
Another
champion for another week.
All right.
Letters to the President.
Can't
you
wait
retain
to hear it
the title.
Oh, no. I should have changed it so you guys wouldn't have to keep listening to it.
We're going to, we got like a four week rule now.
Yeah, well, then we retire him.
If it's a champion too long,
oh,
we take it behind the.
Re-sing
that's
it.
Illegal. Yeah. in the dark, or whatever they do. I don't know the lyrics.
I'm pumped.
Sports song. Now I know that you think that song from Rihanna is an arena song.
To be fair, you think every Rihanna song is an arena song.
It is. How
would you feel if Rihanna put out a worship album like Selena Gomez says she wants to do?
I would 100% be okay if it was worshiping her.
So, bow down, to me,
Will
like
do.
That sort of thing.
Already done.
Yeah, I'd be into it.
Yeah.
I feel like Janelle Monáe is like halfway there.
That's what Cardi B's latest album is. It's just like her.
It's doing worship me.
She said she yells her own name during sex, and I am here for it. I was like, yes, girl.
That's funny.
Perfect.
She's a wild thing.
What, Cardi B?
Yeah.
I think she's Christian.
Is she a Christian?
You know, it's really interesting. Yeah, I think that, I don't know. I'm pretty sure I've seen her talk about it in her thing.
Do you think we can get her on the show?
Maybe. Yeah. You could get Beyonce. Beyonce's Christian.
She
believes that God, there's that famous meme where she's like, God is real. And she grew up Christian. She grew up in Houston, like very Christian. Yeah, but she grew up very Christian. Yeah, and I think that her, a lot of people that, a lot of entertainers
have that. Yeah, or at least like to attribute things to God.
Yeah.
Everyone born in Houston is a Christian.
That's true. Contractually.
Renee Zellweger, right. Alexis Bledel, Wes Anderson. There's one other good one.
Kermit.
Oh, was it not Demi Lovato?
Was Demi Lovato Houston?
I know Demi. Yeah. Well, I don't know if Houston. I know Demi and Selena are from Texas. I think Selena might be Corpus Christi. Yeah. I don't know. Anyways.
Good Texas folk. Again, we're talking about these will all be future guests on the show.
Clearly.
And we can talk to them about their guestimonies.
Yeah, so we should save it for those.
Yeah,
episodes.
I don't want to spoil those
too much.
We still got at least 33 more to go. But now it's time to bring it down, family, and just get into a different space. We got some candles lit here in the room, and we have some prayerful, contrite looks on our faces. I'm on my knees. Caroline is on her knees as well.
I'm doing a Justin Bieber, like, kind of a kiss, like, squint up at the sky.
Does he squint when he looks at the sky?
Yeah.
Like the sun's out?
Very Christian now.
He is.
Justin Bieber.
He's super Christian.
He's going to do a Hillsong collabo any day now.
Gosh.
I feel like it's coming.
It's probably going to be real good.
Is it too late to say you're my savior? Like that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Something like that. It's already halfway there. Like the Hillsong, it's there. So the way this works, Danny, is on other shows and other podcasts, you might promote yourself or things you enjoy, but we're not here to do that. Because that's the Caroline? the spirit of man. And it's looking for the approval of man. We're not here to do that. We're here to lift it up. We're here to lift up our projects, our social media, and the things we enjoy.
To the Lord.
Where people can find us. Caroline, we'll start with you.
I hope that God looks at my tweets and blesses them at Caroline's Farts. Oh, I felt sacrilegious. You know, maybe God is blessing him. I don't know. You can also find me on Instagram at Caroline's Farts, too.
I mean, we need to admit, Jesus farted.
He was a grown-ass man.
Yeah. He was fully human.
He let some poots out.
Yeah.
And that's okay to say.
There's no 17-year-old boy that, like, doesn't have, you know, streak marks on their underwear at some point.
Ew.
So Jesus also did.
Do you think Jesus was a little prankster?
Do you think Jesus hotboxed the apostles?
Dutch oven!
Or whatever the equivalent to
Jesus.
A Dutch oven.
No, guys, gotta stay. I bet they smelled good.
Oh, that's the thing. He did it, but the aroma was like lavender or something.
What if it healed you? It like stung your eyes a little bit and then you could see.
Wow.
This actually is, you know what? I think we've created a new way to worship Jesus. His miraculous farts.
In and out, kind of. This week I would like to lift up the new season, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I think I listened to that show before, but I just enjoy that show. It's a good, silly, sweet show. Very great cast, great storylines, so diverse, so many different kinds of perspectives, and truly funny.
Truly funny, all right.
Just like me.
Okay, well, Danny, we turn to you.
I would like all of God's goodness to look down on me all week. And my dog as well, who I believe has a soul.
Name?
Her name's Molly. I named
Molly.
It before the drug got popular.
really?
Yeah. Curses on the drug, Molly.
Yeah, I named her back in like 2007.
Some people meet you. They're
11.
Like, oh, do you love doing Molly?
I think it's because I'll say like, oh yeah, I got to go run Molly. And people are like, oh, I didn't know you did that on the side. Anyways, I would like to lift up my dog, Molly.
We want to lift up Molly on the GCF podcast.
Pick up Molly.
She is spiritual. She's life-changing. I would also like to lift up my socials. I'm at Ms. Danny Fernandez, MS Danny, DANIFERNANDEZ, and my podcast, Nerdificent,
with
another Christian podcast person.
Guest.
Welcome to the
guest. There we go. There we go.
He's a pastor. Yeah. Joel Osteen is your co-host.
Yeah, so I'm lifting those up.
Nerdificent, a great and terrific new podcast. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to lift up Molly and the people listening to this on Molly. tweeted us hashtag
you okay?
Hashtag you okay. I also want to lift up the new Lucy Dacus album, Historian, is so terrific. I have a type of music that I just love. Between her, Julian Baker, Phoebe Bridgers, that's all. I could put all those albums on repeat forever.
Wow.
And be satisfied.
Is that a Fiona Apple type?
Fiona Apple's more aggressive. Those girls are a little more melancholy and sad.
Aww.
Julian Baker is a particular standout. But
have
Lucy,
you ever listened to Birdie?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Come on, skinny love. She has a good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Also, I want to lift up Blockers.
I heard it was good.
I cried.
Oh, yay. I want to see it.
I don't know if that's a barometer of how good a movie is.
It's true.
Or just like how you're doing.
To be fair.
That sounds personal.
To be fair, I also, in Caroline's defense, I also cried during Trolls. So. So
oh
it's not
God.
Good. Blockers is
was
good.
There kind of an outsider redheaded troll?
Maybe.
Trying his best.
He was trying his best.
And I love him.
Thank you.
The troll is you.
But Blockers is very funny and extremely
progressive?
Yes.
Yeah, I figured. They have cool. to, or else it wouldn't succeed.
Yeah.
I thought it was lovely, but it's like a...
Like sex positive?
Well,
yeah.
It's a sex comedy that deconstructs itself, but it's still a good sex comedy. So I thought it was really good, and Kay Cannon's directing it, and yeah. It was good. It was really, really good. Caroline just dabbed in the room. And you can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. On Instagram, on Twitter, facebook.com/Christian Fun Pod. And then you can join our fan page, Good Christian Fans. Connect with other believers and non-believers. Go to our Good Christian Singles page and
hook up.
All you fappy dads out there.
Hell yeah. Oh, I want a dad.
Yeah.
Oh, get your daddies.
Ooh.
Yeah, find your mommies and daddies.
Daddy
in there.
Market.
Oh, absolutely. You can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts /iTunes. And for every review you leave, we donate $1 for charity. This month's charity will be announced at a later date.
No. I have it. If you leave us a review, every review, we're going to donate $1 this month to the I Have a Dream Foundation in LA, which helps low income and underprivileged, is that a word?
Yes.
Thank you. Underprivileged kids.
Does that sound like a privileged person? Is underprivileged a word?
Is that what it's like? Oh, geez. I was thinking like low privilege? That's not right. Oh, God. Okay. Man, guys, I need to donate extra. Underprivileged kids. It helps them get tutoring help. It helps them out. So you're going to be doing something great. And check out their work. They're really well rated. They are a great foundation. And you can donate on your own if you'd like.
Sure.
Bitch.
Whoa. she wasn't calling the listener that. She was calling me that. So it's okay. Don't be offended, dear listener. Danny, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for coming
along
the journey.
What a lovely guest.
I feel overprivileged for...
as a privileged person, that's not a word.
And of course, check out our weekly second service episodes, patreon.com/goodchristianfun. Every Friday, we put on a new episode, a bonus episode, something weird, something new, something interesting. So go there and become a Patreon saint. And that's it for this week, except there's nothing left to say, but in all of Pod's people said,
Amen.
All right, what song should we go out with?
The bony. Oh.
Is nostalgia good? All right, we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
I learned my lesson. Stop. Listen here, girls. Oh, no.
Caroline and I care very much about the earth, clean energy, and the environment. So next week on GCF, we're going green. Keith Green, that is. We're listening to Keith Green, specifically the album No Compromise.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.